Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
My body was cold to the touch. Distant sounds of rain patter onto the tent as I slowly awaken from my sleep. I realize that I rested a little longer than usual, so I sit myself up and check the time on my phone. It was 3 a.m. This was my third day of camping, and even though I was excited to go, things felt a little redundant after a while. I noticed that my friend Jessica was not in the tent with me. Maybe she went to the bathroom? There are 15 other campers on the reserve for our field trip. Each tent is relatively close to one another. Our chaperones are in cabins located about 800 feet away. Out of curiosity, I text Jessica. "Where are you, Braceface?" By this time, almost 20 minutes had passed. Something seemed off. I knew she couldn't have been in someone else's tent, because she's very particular about the people she's around. Plus, we weren't allowed to do that. Just as I begin to leave the tent, a flash of thunder shocks me in fear as I settle back down. Rain begins to pour down heavily. Jessica's going to be mad that her hair is wet. Assuming that she had went to the bathroom, I fell back to sleep while listening to the rain. After about an hour, I jolt up from my pillow with a noise outside. It was the most disturbing thing I had ever heard. It was blood-curdling and sounded like a banshee. Now at this point, I was concerned. Once again, Jessica still hadn't came back to the tent. I checked my phone and also noticed that she never texted me back. This was strange. It was time to stop being a wuss and get out of the tent. I found it impossible that anyone could have slept through that loud noise, but surprisingly, everyone was sound asleep. I flip the hood of my jacket onto my head and begin walking towards the cabins. I can't explain it exactly, but there was this odd feeling I felt as I continued to walk, almost as if someone was behind me. I'm overreacting. No one else is out here, is what I say to myself in reassurance. The full moon casted a glare onto the reserve, so I could fairly see where I was going. The rain continued to drench my hoodie and my shoes as I carefully stepped between mud puddles. As I get to the cabin, I notice something jammed on the side of the entrance. Keep in mind that these cabins are made out of log. I use the force of my foot to knock the object loose, and after a few pushes, the body of a gray cat rolls out. It was dead. I was completely terrified. The only question I had in my head was, who or what would do something like that? It was too much going on at once. I still had to find Jessica, and the turbulence of this weather wasn't making it easy. I try the handle on the door and notice that it's locked, which is alarming, because our chaperone usually left it open for campers to use the restroom in the hall. This just confused me even more as to where Jessica could be. Then, all of a sudden, I take note that the moonlight had completely disappeared. I hear this silent hither of some sort of animal or creature behind me. Whatever it was, I could tell it was a few feet away. My entire body felt ice cold as I faced the cabin door. There was no way I was turning around to see what the thing was. I start to hear footsteps move very slowly in the mud. It grunted in a low tone as it made its way towards me. I could tell this was not the presence of something small. It's time for me to make a move. I bang as loud as I can on the cabin, shouting for help in between knocks. A few moments later, my chaperone opens the door, yawning and squinting in confusion. I quickly move past her and close the door behind me. "You're getting mud all over the floor," says Miss Kelly in agitation. After I catch my breath, I explain to her what was going on, or at least what I thought. Even after going into detail about everything, she responded in a laugh and groggily asked me, did I need to use the bathroom? Well, that was clearly pointless. I take a few moments to get myself together and ask Miss Kelly to walk me back to my tent. She was irritated that I asked, but she agreed to do it anyway. She grabs an umbrella from a closet, and we head back. As I get to my tent and climb inside, I notice that Jessica is laying down. I tap her shoulder and ask her where she was. Apparently, she was in another tent the entire time with a classmate she had a crush on. Midway between us talking, I hear that same blood-curdling scream from earlier. We both sit up and stare at each other in astonishment. Jessica says, "So you've heard it too?" My heart drops to my stomach. "Look, I know we joke a lot, but please just listen to what I'm about to tell you. I have a feeling that's not an animal out there," I explained. Jessica's face had skepticism written all over it. She whispers, "You're not seriously suggesting that there's a ghost or something out there, are you? It's probably one of the girls playing around." "You didn't feel what I felt out there," I say in conviction. "When I was heading to the cabin, there was something behind me, and it didn't sound like a bear, a wolf, or a snake. That was something different." Shortly after, we continue to discuss what's going on. We decide to just head back to sleep until morning. Even with her hearing the noise herself, she refused to believe me. It made me question my own reality. Am I crazy? I woke up the next morning to the sound of distant voices talking in a frenzy. Jessica and I climb out of the tent and head to the bonfire a few feet up ahead. Mostly everyone, including our chaperone, was outside in a circle around the burning ember. "Have a seat, guys," says Miss Kelly as she takes a deep sigh. "I'm assuming you two have no clue where Michael and Kenny are, do you?" Jessica and I look at each other in confusion. "No, I haven't seen them. What exactly is going on?" I respond in curiosity. "Just an hour ago, I went to check on everybody before I began roll call. They weren't in their tents, and I have no idea what's going on. Listen, if this is a joke, guys, you gotta stop this. I have to..." Suddenly, out of nowhere, Michael and Kenny stumble out of the woods and onto the ground in exhaustion. Their eyes were bloodshot red. We all rush over to console them both and ask what happened. They would say a few words, but it was mostly gibberish. Michael had no shirt on, and Kenny's white shirt was covered in dirt. They looked completely terrified. "All right, this camping adventure is officially over. I don't get paid enough for this," Miss Kelly shouts in agitation. "Please don't say I told you so," says Jessica as we walk back to our tent. When I wished for a memorable trip, this wasn't what I had in mind.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.